Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who's not going to be happy if he comes across any jellied cranberry sauce that's not whole fruit cranberry sauce. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. How's it going? That is one of my pet peeves. I don't like the full jelly. I'm a pulp guy in my orange juice. I like to have the berries in the cranberry sauce here on Thanksgiving. And we have a Thanksgiving treat for you because we're going to be talking with the great Andrea Belke here on our recap of the latest episode of Survivor. Hope you and yours, for everybody here in the United States of America, had a great Thanksgiving. As you're listening to this, we should have some fun stuff to talk about after this week's Survivor episode. Had a great Survivor know-it-alls last night. Was very happy. Stephen Fishback came home for the holidays, back to the know-it-alls to talk about everything that was going on with me. And we had a really fun conversation about everything that was going on in this episode. If you happen to miss it on Wednesday night, they call it Blackout Wednesday. A lot of people go out really party on the night before Thanksgiving. Not us. Work night for us. Work day for us too here today on Rob Has a Podcast. But check that out on robhasawebsite.com. If you missed it on the feedback show this weekend, Brett LaBelle is going to join me. If you want to get your feedback questions in for Brett LaBelle, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. If you want to call in with your questions for Brett, we'll also have This Week in Survivor. We'll take Alex Jacob into the This Week in Survivor History Dojo. And then we will have a quiz, but a pinch quizzer for our Jeopardy champion, Alex Jacob, coming up. That's all going on this weekend, plus Rob and Akiva need a podcast. But first, before we get to Andrea, let me take a moment and thank our presenting sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at DC Universe. Rob Has a Podcast is brought to you by DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership for us DC fans who want to watch DC movies and shows, read our favorite DC comics, and shop for exclusive merchandise and connect with the fans. DC Universe is home to original series like Titans, Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, and starting November 29th, Harley Quinn, featuring Kelly Cuoco. This adult animated series follows Harley as she breaks things off with the Joker. Will she be the newly liberated Queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you love comic books, DC Universe is the place for you. Also, get access to 20,000 digital comics all at your fingertips. This includes classic titles like The Dark Knight Returns, Crisis on Infinite Earths, that's very hot right now, Kingdom Come, and All-Star Superman, as well as today's hottest books. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Watch new animated films like Batman Hush and Reign of the Superman. Enjoy classic animated series in HD like Aquaman and Batman Beyond. Binge fan favorite DC series like Constantine and Birds of Prey, and watch classic DC movies like Batman, Batman Returns, and Superman. DC Universe is available on all of your favorite devices. And with this 14-day free trial code, now's definitely the time to experience the ultimate DC membership. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your free trial. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1, and use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. This episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the United States. All right, everybody, I'm very excited for our guest today who made time for us here over her trip home for Thanksgiving. Here she is back with us, one of the great guests of Rob Has a Podcast, the three-time Survivor legend and the host of People Now. Don't forget Miss Survivor as well. Please welcome Andrea Belke. Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I know it took us a little bit to get connected, but it's because I'm in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin. So thank you for being patient with me.
Well, the audience doesn't know that. For them, that it seems like that you got connected instantly.
That is very true. Forget I said anything.
Yes. So, Andrew, it's
happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too. It's so nice to hear from you, and I'm very excited that you make time for us anytime, let alone on Thanksgiving. It's actually not the first time that we've spoken on Thanksgiving. I went back and I did my research, and on Thanksgiving 2013, you also that had the inconvenience of talking to me.
Whoa, that was a long time ago.
It was, yeah, 66 years ago. So that there's some historical precedent of a Thanksgiving chat, talking turkey on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been the season after Caramoan.
Yeah,
I'm
blood
guessing.
Versus water.
Wow. We go way back.
Yes, I know. Well, we do go way back. You were really one of the first people that when we started doing the podcast, you know, now it's not uncommon for people to be listening to the podcast who are appearing on the show. But, you know, way back when you first played. Yeah, I think you were one of the first people that seemed to at least be aware that this was a thing.
Yeah. And was I the first Miss Survivor?
You got it after you played the second time. You were in the first go round.
Who was the first one? The first one was Parvati.
Yes.
Okay, great, makes sense.
Great legacy of the Miss Survivors back when that was a thing, and we could talk about whether or not we should bring it back. Probably not at this time. I think that we made the right call, but I'm always open to the suggestions. But Andrea, we'd love to talk to you about this season and how you're feeling about everything that's going on. But first, what's been going on with you? What's the update on you?
Life's been pretty good. This is actually my first Thanksgiving back since I got trampled by horses. So it's a lot better than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was here 2 years ago, I was in the field and my horses got spooked and then I got trampled, broke my nose. I don't know if you remember.
I remember seeing the pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my gums were all messed up. So I had to get gum surgery, had to take off of work. So that was a dark time. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm feeling good. I'm probably going to stay away from the horses this time.
Yeah.
But
have you been back on the horses since then?
I have.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to get back on the horse.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, I only one time, I think, went on a horseback riding trip when I was with the late, great Rudy and Tina when I got kicked off on Survivor All-Stars. And that was enough for me. Nothing bad happened to me. And I haven't gotten back on a horse. So you're much better at this.
Yeah. But yeah, no, other than that, I've been living in New York. Actually, this entire time since my first season of Survivor,
yeah.
I moved out to New York right after Redemption Island because that was back in the day when the finale would be in New York every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I moved out to New York. I've been there ever since, which is really insane. So 9 years and working at People. It's been my fourth year there and I've had a really good year with them. So life's been pretty good. Very busy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Andrea, that's why we always appreciate it when you make some time for us. I know that you have a ton going on. So always great to hear from you. And it's also really, I think, amazing that you still keep up with Survivor. I think that, you know, it speaks to, you know, what a great fan you were of the show from before you even played.
I love Survivor. I mean, every week I get such a thrill out of it. I still think it's one of the best shows on TV. And I love the community. It's brought me so much joy and all these awesome friends. So I love, you know, keeping up with it. Obviously, this season has been a little dark, but I've also been a part of dark seasons. So
Yeah. In
a way, I can kind of relate to that.
Well, I was thinking about this before we were coming on today, where, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how the incident this season and how that all went down a couple of weeks ago and the similarities between the situation with Jeff Varner and Zeke, which you were there for. You were at that tribal council, you know, as was Sandra there as well, or she was voted out the one before?
Yeah, she was voted out right before.
Right, but she was a part. She was a part of that season. You've also, you know, of course, played with Rob and with Sandra. But also, you were a part of the situation, which I think a couple of people have brought up about with Brandon Hance, about how he was removed from the game and not with a tribal council, where that there was some precedent. I think for, you know, people talked about whether or not Dan should have been removed from the game. Because that if people were not feeling safe about him, you were part of that situation with Brandon Hance, where there was a situation where it looked like that he was becoming increasingly violent, not towards you. You always had a good relationship with Brandon, but that there was an issue with him, with that he was going to potentially fight Philip, and that he was going to basically, you guys forfeited an immunity to have him go out of the game. Can you talk a little bit about like how that ultimately was decided by either the cast or and or with production?
Well, our entire tribe, the favorites, were starting to feel really uneasy about him because he was starting to act really erratic and was threatening to pee in the well and was looking for the machete and was just starting to get really scary.
I thought it was the rice. I thought he was going to pee in the rice. Was it also in the well?
No, it was also in the well.
Okay.
He was threatening everything. We thought he was going to pee in the well as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was threatening everything. And he was becoming very aggressive with Philip, and those two were screaming at each other, and it was becoming really alarming. And at that point, our tribe was on a winning streak, so we just decided we didn't feel safe with him around, and we threw the challenge. Like, we went to the challenge to throw it and forfeit, so we kind of were able to separate game from real life at that point, because he was not in a good headspace at that point.
Yeah. And I feel like that in a lot of ways that that was an easier situation than what the survivors and what the production was faced with this time around, because it was unanimous among your group, right, that Brandon had to go?
Yeah, it was unanimous. And I think the situation on this season is a lot more nuanced, and a lot of people didn't know all of the extent of what was going on because they weren't watching Kelly's confessionals. And so it wasn't as obvious as what was happening with Brandon. I mean, Brandon, at that point, you were kind of afraid to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we thought he was going to find the machete and take one of us out. But when he and Philip were going at it so much, you could just tell that something really wasn't right. Where I think with this season, a lot was going on that people were a little unaware of until maybe the end, or until they actually got more of the facts straight. And it was just a different situation for sure.
Yeah. I mean, what went on with you guys was just, you know, so clear cut that everybody was sort of on the same page of, okay, he has to go. And everybody, all the players were all feeling unsafe, where this was a situation where that there was, you know, a couple of people that were feeling not safe or comfortable with what Dan was doing. But it wasn't like that there was a consensus among the players of he has to go. And it was just so clear cut for everybody. But I do feel like that there is like precedent when we talk about like, well, like integrity of the game issues, that with the Brandon issue, I think that there was the precedent that you can have a person removed from the game, not for a medical evacuation and not for being voted out.
Yes, definitely. And I also think that production could sense something was wrong and they stepped in. I mean, remember when Jeff was holding Brandon back?
Yeah.
And Brandon seemed like he was going to sprint at Philip when we were at that challenge. It's crazy even thinking back to that time, because it was really unsettling. And, you know, for this season, production stepped in, but it was a little late. I don't know. I'm obviously, you've had a lot of conversations of if they did the right thing or if they acted a little too late, but yeah, there's kind of a lot going on.
Yeah. And just with the Zeke and Varner incident, I think that really one of the ways that this is a lot different is that I feel like that you guys, when that happened, that moment, that I feel like that it wasn't lost on the people that were there at that tribal council, like how big of a moment that was going to be in terms of, you know, how the show was going to be viewed. And correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but it seems like that the players in this season didn't really get the sense of like how big of an issue this was going to be outside of the show in terms of when it was happening to them in the real time.
I don't think the players on this season had any idea this was going to be as big of a deal as it was. Mm-hmm. I think that they thought this was a passing thing. Let's just play up feeling uncomfortable. It's in the game. It's not a big deal. When in fact, it is a really big deal. And obviously, we saw a lot of the backlash. I think there was a lot of outrage about Varner outing Zeke, because that's a terrible, terrible thing. But there's a lot of backlash about what happened here. It's because it's something that we see so much in everyday life with women being silenced. And the difference that I saw just at the tribal councils was when you saw Varner out Zeke, our entire tribe came to Zeke's side and people were crying and we were there for him and we supported him. Whereas when it went down on this season, the entire tribe seemed to go against Kelly and against Janet and discredited her. And it was just the grossest thing I've seen in a while, because Kelly and Janet didn't have any support. And then Jamal was really the only one sticking up that we saw in the edit. I know that Janet had said Tommy was also speaking up, but I mean, there was just a big difference in how the rest of the People Tribal Council handled such a terrible event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you guys were in the filming of Game Changers, did you realize like at the time the gravitas of how everything was going to be perceived, you know, outside, and you know what a big sort a moment this was going to be in terms of people covering the show?
I did, yeah, and as you can tell by my reaction to Tribal Council, I was wrecked. Mm-hmm. Because I knew Zeke before we played together, and that was a big thing. We had played Survivor Brooklyn together, and so I considered him a friend outside of the game. And as soon as that happened, I knew his life has changed forever, and I knew that it's not what he wanted. He didn't want to be known as the trans Survivor player. He wanted to be known as Zeke, and Varner took that from him. And obviously, Zeke now owns it and has been doing amazing things with that. But you know, Zeke didn't ask for that. And as it was happening, we all realized that this was now going to be outside of Survivor. And it really affected Zeke's life for the rest of his life. So you could just tell by all of our reactions that we understood this was a huge moment. Whereas this cast, I don't think really understood that what the public perception was going to be.
Let's talk about what's been going on these last couple episodes, and specifically last night. I know that you are a big Janet fan. Were you nervous that when the Janet vote came up after Karishma played that idol, did you think that Janet was going to go home?
I thought that maybe she would. I was very nervous for her, but somehow she has got herself back kind of in that core alliance, or is at least kind of laid low. I'm pretty happy about that. I don't know if she can win the game at this point, because she really has to somehow start making moves, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I just think she's the most badass woman that's ever played Survivor. Mm-hmm. She's what, 59 years old? She's so strong. And obviously what she did that episode, two episodes ago, was so admirable. And I just have the most respect for her. So I'm Team Janet all the way.
Now, Karishma is somebody who has really turned her game around over these last couple of weeks, where she was kind of left for dead. And now all of a sudden she's making some moves. Here she is now at the final eight. She had this amazing idol play in the episode from this week. Is there hope for Karishma?
I don't know. I really like Karishma. I know she's a little polarizing, but I get a kick out of her. I like watching her. I like that she's the ultimate underdog. And I thought it was really awesome she was able to play the idol correctly, kind of reversing this curse of a lot of women in a row playing idols not correctly.
Which you are or at least that I feel like that you got this whole thing started, of that you were the first woman to be voted off with an idol. And then I think you wear that as an honor, right?
I do. Yeah, I was the first woman to be voted off with an idol. And it was then, I think, four seasons later, the next woman, which I think was Aubrey, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So for a while I had that. Maybe I could be wrong.
I don't think that she didn't get voted off with an idol until last season, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think there was a woman before that. I think I held that title for seasons.
Yeah. I know that it's been, the problem was for a long time, the women weren't finding the idols. And now then once they found the idols, then they were getting voted off with them.
Yeah, but I was the first. And then the really sad part about all of it was I had this idol that I was really proud of that I would bring out once in a while. And I actually lost that idol in real life. So,
how did you lose it in real life?
This was the most depressing thing ever. So I'm not someone that has a lot of prized possessions except for my idol. That's probably my number one top possession that I owned. Mm-hmm. And I went to this small Survivor party where I was doing a CBS Survivor takeover. So I was wearing my idol and having it around. And it was Eliza, me, Brian Corden, and Josh Canfield, and another one of our friends. But I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I don't want you going after any of these people because I don't think anyone stole it. Yeah. But what happened was
we were all playing with the idol. To the person that made you lose your idol?
Look, I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that the Robinson Podcast listeners are not the ones sending death threats.
No, I don't think they are.
Yeah.
But our other friend's just innocent of all of it. So I'm not going to just name him. Okay. Anyway, so we had this small party and we were playing with the idol, whatever. And I grabbed the idol, put it in my bag, and was walking to the train with Josh Canfield. We were catching up, having conversation. I got on the train and I was halfway home and I checked my bag just to make sure I had it. And it wasn't there. Checked my pockets. Wasn't there. Okay. Left it at Eliza's. So I texted Eliza and said, hey, I left my idol there. And she said, no, you didn't. And I said, I don't have it. I definitely did. And she was still with a couple people. So they searched her entire apartment and looked under the couch, looked under the cushions,
Hold on, 1 second. The idea of the open, hidden immunity idol hunt in real life to me is not lost. That is hilarious.
I know. And they searched her entire place. At this point, we were wondering, did her dog grab it and move it to another part of the apartment? And I was
texting
her,
why didn't you call me? I could come in and find that idol without a clue.
I mean, honestly, she searched the entire place and I obviously trust Eliza. No one's going to steal my idol. I don't know. And there were three of them. So obviously they were all searching it and the idol was not to be found. I did not have it. And so I guess my conclusion is somehow it fell out of my bag on the way to the train and Josh and I didn't notice. It honestly doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And I, to this day, have never found it and it's completely gone. So somewhere it fell on a sidewalk in New York City and someone probably picked it up not knowing it actually has a lot of very sentimental to me.
Wow. Do you think that somebody found it and picked it up? Do you think a Survivor fan was like, hey, is that a hidden immunity idol on the street?
I mean, the chances of someone just picked it up and thought it was garbage or thought it was, oh, I guess this is a kind of cool trinket. But yeah, the idol completely disappeared. And I was really sad about that.
Yeah. Do you think that there could have been any foul play at the party? Do you think that anybody could have lifted your idol?
Okay. I did think about that, but then I had to remember, these are my real life friends. Oh, do you think what Josh Canfield is going to swipe my idol? What, so he can keep it in his room and not tell anybody about it? Like if someone took the idol, they would have to just take it and then deep down be happy that they stole something from mm-hmm. me. They can't really show anyone about it because they would get back to me eventually. Wait, why do you have Andrea's hidden immunity idol? You know, but it did cross my mind. And there were some group texts where we were all kind of accusing each other. We're like, hey, we all know you took it, Brian.
Right.
But I trust them. And they're my real life friends, not just Survivor friends. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone stole it. It's just insane to me that it would have somehow fell out of my bag or it could have been in my pocket. But it doesn't make sense because Josh and I were talking the entire time. We would have heard the clanking of the metal on the idol if it fell out. It is really.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Because this idol not just was from Survivor Karamoan, right? This went to Ghost Island that Dominic Abate had this idol in Ghost Island, right?
Yes, he had the idol. It survived all of that. it was really meaningful to me, and I lost it on a sidewalk in New York City. It's really depressing. I thought about reaching out to the producers and seeing if there were any extra ones and just maybe seeing if they would give me one in replacement. But then I haven't gotten around to that because
I'm sure they would.
But I don't know if I really want to. It's like, what, I'm going to call up the executive producer and be like, hey, I lost my idol. Can I get another one? I don't know.
Well, maybe one of these other women that get voted out with an idol will give you theirs.
No, I don't think so.
Kelly got voted out with two idols. Maybe she can give you one.
I mean, but that's the one good thing about getting voted off with an idol is you get to keep it.
Yeah.
So it's this really cool souvenir. And everyone is always really obsessed with it when you bring it out. It was a really fun thing to bring out at parties because people would be like, this is really the real Hidden Immunity idol. And so I felt really cool for a while, and now I have nothing to show for myself.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that maybe that this is going to come back around. Was it at Eliza's house? Has she moved?
No, she's still in that apartment.
Okay.
But it's just like somehow she never cleaned her apartment for a year. I think that was about a year ago that I lost it.
All right. Maybe one day she'll like move the couch over and then, you know, be having a bunch of people over and then maybe they'll find it.
Maybe.
Keep your fingers crossed on that. Anyway, but so we ended up talking about how the, you know, all these women are getting voted out with idols and in following your lead. And I guess last night we had a misplayed idol. So I guess better to just misplay the idol than to be voted out with it. I mean, you don't get to keep it if you misplay it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely better to misplay it. Because you can recover from that. The only thing about misplaying an idol is then you're revealing that you actually found an idol, which puts a target on your back because you're sneakier than people thought you were. So I think Lauren is going to have to do a little damage control here because now she might look like a liar. When she told everyone she had this advantage about what the challenge was and they could eat food and she knew what the food was, she left out a big part that she actually got an idol.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to have to do some damage control because people will probably say, whoa, when did you find this idol? You're sneakier than we thought. Just like Karishma. Now people realize, oh my gosh, we can't sleep on Karishma. Karishma, she obviously played it correctly. But every time you play
ironically,
an idol,
Karishma can sleep on anything.
Yeah, no. It's true. Yeah, I think it's better to misplay it. It's obviously not great to hold on to it or hold on to two idols because that's just regrets.
Yeah. Well, all right. Go back to what you were saying about Lauren, because I didn't really think about that until like Steven and I were talking about it at the very end of the Know-It-Alls that, you know, hey, Lauren did a really great job of convincing everybody, hey, all right, sit out of the challenge. And then she did everything right up until she ended up getting that idol. And then she has to play it at the tribal council. And I do think that that is going to potentially really blow up her spot in terms of that she went to the island of the idols. She didn't mention anything about the idol. She got everybody to now sit out of the challenge. I think that people are going to start asking a lot of questions like, yeah, wait, hold on. So was that connected? How did you get that idol? And now does she have to now, you know, keep coming up with more lies? Or do you think that she has to now come clean about the whole thing with the island of the idols?
I don't know. I think it's probably better if she lies and says she found the idol around camp than, I don't know. That one's really hard. I understand why she played it because Karishma having an idol was this huge shock. I think everyone was so surprised and you just never know who Karishma is going to vote for. And so if Lauren thinks that everyone is voting for Karishma, then yeah, maybe she would have been the vote that Karishma had voted. However, I think Lauren should have maybe thought that they had security votes because I'm a little confused who voted for Janet and who voted for Elizabeth, but I think you were trying to talk about that. I know it all.
You were trying to figure it out. I'm going to look on the Survivor Wiki and see if they figured it out yet.
Yeah, I guess I had assumed that Karishma voted for Janet, but that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Elizabeth voted for... Okay. I saw one theory where they said Elizabeth voted for Karishma and Dan threw a vote on Elizabeth and Krishna had voted for Janet.
Yeah, that's what it's that's what the Survivor Wiki is saying. So yeah, that we got that sort of like late in the podcast where it looks like that she put her vote on Janet. I am assuming that she was told that it was going to be part of a vote split, and I think that Dan might have been like, "Hey, I heard my name, so just in case, I'm going to put one vote on Elizabeth just to make sure that I don't end up being the one person in case Karishma plays an idol."
Yeah, so Lauren should have realized that Dan was voting for Elizabeth as a safety vote. I think she probably had that information. So she should have realized the worst that could have happened would have been if Karishma voted for Lauren, it would have been a tie. Mm-hmm. And they would have revoted and her alliance would have stayed strong. So yeah, she probably could have saved her idol.
See, I bet she didn't know that. I bet it was the kind of thing where he's just like saying, like, you know, the same sort of thing happened in Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, where everybody was going to be writing Ben's name down, and that that for Devin Pinto, that he knew that, okay, well, you know, who's Ben going to write down? And just in case he writes my name down, let me write down Dr. Mike's name. And that's how Dr. Mike ended up getting voted out.
Yeah, but you'd think that Lauren would know, because at this point in the game, you can't take a chance. And usually you know that one person's going to throw a random vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think Lauren seems to kind of have her finger on the pulse of everything. And she probably would have known that one person's going to vote for Elizabeth just in case, because you always have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you wouldn't put all of your votes on Karishma, because you want to say, okay, just in case, let's see, Dan, you can put your vote on Elizabeth. And we were probably wanting to vote her out anyway. So if there's an idol, that would happen. I don't know. I think that Lauren probably knew, but I think she panicked in the moment. And I probably would have panicked too, because yeah, when Karishma was on an idol, anything could happen. So she was just being safe. But now she really has to do damage control and try to figure out how she's going to explain this. Because right now, I'd be looking at Lauren like, okay, you're a liar. Because clearly you got an idol at Island of the Idols.
Yeah. So she got that that idol at the Island of the Idols. She went to go visit two of your friends, Rob and Sandra. And the one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the podcast this season was we were going through, okay, who are the people that have played with Rob and Sandra? And we said, okay, well, you played with Rob back in Redemption Island, and then you got to play with Sandra in Game Changer. So how have you thought Rob and Sandra have done this season?
They have been such a delight, haven't they? When I first heard about this season and the theme, I kind of thought it was going to be embarrassing, but I think it's been really fun, because when someone goes to Island of the Idols, you actually get to know that person a little more. So even when Lauren got to go this time, I haven't seen Lauren really on this season very much.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing her kind of talk about where she thinks she is in the game, it brought me some more insight to her as a person. And I really liked it. And also, Rob and Sandra are really funny together. I think it's actually been nice. They haven't been overusing them. It's been comedic relief. There's been such amazing moments from Island of the Idols. The Vince thing was so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the big laughable moments in the season was because of Island of the Idols. So I think they're actually utilizing it in a great way. You had the Nora thing, which was insane,
mm-hmm,
where she had to convince everyone to have her be the caller.
Yeah.
And so I've actually really liked this theme. I did not think I was going to in the beginning, but I've been enjoying it. I'm confused as if, is Rob and Sandra, are they really sleeping out there? That's the confusing part for me, but I don't know.
I don't know. I've heard that's what I was told. They definitely are. So that's at least what's been reported to me.
Yeah. But I mean, they've got to be so bored. I bet.
Yeah.
I bet they get cell phones. There's something going on. There's no way that they are out there the entire
Andrea,
time.
Andrea, smarten up. Did I teach you anything?
But no, I've been enjoying watching them. I think they're very funny and fun together. So mm-hmm, it's been a nice surprise.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get your take on it specifically because I feel like that when you played in Redemption Island, I feel like that this is not completely dissimilar, where, you know, Rob kind of was like the person who was like a mentor to all of you new players who were playing in that season. Is that kind of a role that you feel like that he's really cut out for?
Well, yeah, he is very much like a big brother figure. I remember when I was playing Redemption Island. Granted, I was 21.
I would never be on Big Brother.
Yeah. And we were all very naive. Obviously, that season, not the best season. But he really is this wonderful, warm guy. And you don't even realize he's about to cut your throat. Mm-hmm. But he kind of falls into that because he wants to teach you how to build a shelter. He wants to bond with you doing really fun games and activities. So he kind of is a mentor type person for sure.
Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to bring up from Redemption Island is that we had a lot of talk last night about, oh, the goat army and all of the different goats. And I really do think that when we go through like the history of Survivor, and I think that Rob and his relationship with Philip, I think really did alter the trajectory of the show, because I don't feel like that before that relationship, like I don't think that was really a thing of, okay, this is going to be my person that I'm going to try to get to the end with. And I don't know if Rob ends up being the person who ends up getting a lot of credit for that, but I do think that it's so prevalent in the show now in terms of, you know, who are the people that we need to figure out we can get to the end with, because those are the people that can't win. Do you think, is that fair to say that the Robin Phillip relationship really did end up changing the way people look at the show?
I think it really did. I mean, I'm sure in the past, everyone kind of thought, who can I beat at the end? But Rob specifically went out on many limbs to save Phillip, because Phillip was his number one goat, I guess you would say. I'm not sure how I feel about the term, just because it's so dismissive. But for this instance, yes, I think Rob saw Phillip as a goat, saw Natalie as a goat, and brought them to the end. And I think that was definitely the beginning of people really seeking out these goats and wanting to find the Phillip to your Rob. And it definitely changed the way that I looked at the game, because I saw what he did and I said, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. You can find someone that is not going to get any votes in the finals. Why wouldn't you bring them with you to the end? You just got to find that right kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. To build on that, you know, I think that the beauty of what he was able to do was that I don't think that he had conversations with Philip or with Natalie and say, all right, you guys are my goats and you're going to the end because I know I can beat you. Where I think that he, you know, talked to them about, you know, like, hey, we're doing this. We're going to the end. And I think that one of the things that really blew up for Missy last week was the way that she talked to Karishma about how, you know, she let Karishma really feel like, you're the goat, you're going to the end with me, and I'm taking you to the end because I know I can beat you. And I think that that's the kind of thing that really makes somebody upset. I think that the conversations that Rob probably had with Philip and with Natalie were probably not dissimilar from the way that he was talking with you and with Grant, and about how, like, hey, we're gonna go to the end. Okay, this is, you know, this all sounds great. It wasn't like that he, you know, gave people the impression that, no, you guys are the people I'm really going to the end with because I know I can beat you.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rob did such a great job at convincing us that we could beat him in the end, which sounds so stupid now. But he would make the argument that, look, I've played 4 times, no one's going to vote for me to get there. So let's just go as far as we can. No one's going to vote for me to win at the end. I've played 4 times. And stupidly, we all believe that because we
but
really
weren't.
But it's
not so stupid, because I think that you guys really could have. Like, if the final three was you and Rob and Grant, like, I definitely feel like there were so many people that were upset with Rob that I think that they could have gotten, like, it's not crazy to think that people would have voted for, you know, for you two for things that you actually did do in the game. And then also because that there were anti-Rob votes. I mean, don't forget that he's somebody who's actually, you know, lost the final tribal council to people that say, hey, I don't like you, I'm going to vote for Amber. And then, you know, the joke was on them because they got married. But that you guys, one of you two might have won the game had he been sitting next to you two.
That's true. Zapatera hated Rob and they were going to vote for anyone else except for Philip and Natalie. So Rob knew exactly who to bring with him that he could win. But you're right, I would have had a shot against him because a lot of people hated Rob, and Grant could have definitely had a shot against him and anyone that would have made it from Zapatera. So yeah, I just should have realized at the time that I wasn't the one that Rob wanted to sit next to in the finals. And for some reason, it didn't really click in until he blindsided me. And then at freaking Redemption Island, he was telling everybody that. And clearly he wants to take Phillip and Natalie. And so luckily I got that second chance to get back in the game and then at least try to make a move against him. But when I got back, there was no getting through to Ashley and Natalie. They were so set on him because they both thought that they could beat him. And, but the thing that's different though, is he treated them with a lot of respect and made them feel really safe and really stressed the friendship, the, you know, the connection that they had, the alliance. It's really important to be loyal. He like preached loyalty. And so we all thought, yeah, that's honorable. I want to have a ride or die in the end. Whereas the way that Missy spoke to Karishma was not okay. And Karishma does not like when people speak to her like that, as we also saw with Dan and the way he spoke to her. So you have to know who you're talking to and adjust your communication styles to not upset them.
And I think that the person that players have done a better job of that with this season, I think, has been Nora. And with all due respect to Nora, who has become a real standout in the immunity challenges, has won back-to-back immunities. Looks like she could have gone easily another couple of hours in the immunity challenge. That I feel like that Nora is very much feeling like she is somebody who's really in the loop. And she's somebody who is a real decision maker in terms of what's happening, where in actuality, she probably isn't. Although, I mean, last week on the Aaron vote, she was.
Yeah, I think that the core alliance is doing a great job of letting Nora think that she's running things and is in control of things. And well, that's the thing about playing Survivor, though, is every person out there thinks they're the star of the show. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see with Dean and why Dean is on this whole goat army thing. And he thinks that he's this huge threat and he's a key player. But in actuality, as of now, he's really not. But, you know, Nora probably thinks that she's kind of running things. Everyone kind of thinks that it's their game.
Yeah.
I mean, there obviously are people that realize they're on the bottom and are very self-aware. But I always find a lot of people that play Survivor, you kind of think that you're the big threat and that you've always been in the loop. You've always been in the know until you watch the edit back and you realize that you really weren't pulling any strings.
Yeah.
And it's always a slice of humble pie when you watch the edit back and realize, oh, I guess I really wasn't the person that decided on that vote. And that kind of sucks. But at the time, I thought I was.
Humble pie is the worst Thanksgiving dessert.
That is true. No one likes humble pie.
Yeah. But Steven talks about this a lot, about how everybody's always the hero of their own narrative. And I think that every single person that goes out there, you know, they have this experience and it's just as real to everybody, whether or not that you end up getting a lot of screen time or not on the show. And then it's like, maybe you don't feel like, okay, I'm not getting like the most airtime, but like, I'm definitely going to be, you know, all over this thing. And then I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hurtful for people when they come home and they're like, they don't have a big edit in terms of, you know, everybody wants to throw around this person was purple. And, you know, the experience was just as real. And I'm sure that a lot of people feel like, hey, I was a huge part of this vote. Why didn't they show me? And I think that's one of the, you know, the big issues people have with the show.
Yeah, it's really hard when you come back and you're completely invisible. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to me a little bit. Game Changers, you didn't see me at all in the pre-merge.
Yeah, the first four. And people are like, oh, Andrea's purple. What happened? And it's just like, no, you just you didn't go to tribal council.
Yeah, but you're living so much out there. I mean, one day feels like a week and so much has happened. There's been breakdowns, there's been fights, there's been strategizing, there's been gameplay, even if you're not going to tribal council. And you're expecting, in your mind, you're kind of keeping tabs of, oh, they're going to show this, oh, they're definitely going to show that. And then when you watch the edit and you don't see yourself at all, it's really difficult. And then especially for people that don't get an edit the entire season, which, you know, the editors can throw them some bones. So especially people that are purple, I always kind of feel bad.
You mentioned Dean and what's been going on with Dean. I wanted to ask you, do you see any similarities between Dean and the great Eddie McGee? Eddie, what was Eddie's last name? Eddie McGee is a big brother. The Eddie from Karamoan.
Wait, I can't even think of his last name.
Eddie Fox.
Eddie Fox, oh my gosh, how can we forget Eddie Fox? It's been some years, Rob.
Yes.
I swear most Survivor fans know my seasons better than I do at this point.
You have a lot going on.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think the difference is that Eddie didn't really see himself as a huge threat or running things, where he was just kind of there, happy to be there, talking about dog bars. But I think that Dean really sees himself as pulling the strings. He's rounding up the goat army. I think he sees himself as this huge threat, when I don't really know if he's that much of a physical threat. He hasn't really done that well in the individual immunity challenges at all. But I think that there's still that antiquated idea of bigger, strong men are absolutely threats, but that's not really how Survivor challenges work.
No.
You know, Survivor challenges, it's a lot of different things. It's concentration, it's focus, it's, you know, endurance. And so he hasn't really proved himself in the challenges, so I don't think he's really that much of a threat at this point. But in his own mind, he is. So I think they're a little different. But with all that said, I actually enjoy watching Dean. I get a kick out of him, and he's hilarious. All the way back to when he announced we were going to split the vote and the entire tribe was there. Like, I really like watching Dean. The one thing about Dean's game is I wish that he would have given Kelly a heads up at the tribal council that she went home with two idols.
Right.
Because I think that could have been an opportunity for him to have a secret alliance that no one knew about. And the reason he could have probably trusted her was, well, they had that friend in common, but also Kelly saved him and no one else knew about that plan. And Kelly kept that to herself and it was secret. And I think that he could have probably trusted her, given her a heads up. And then if she played the idol, she would have had this secret alliance going on. They didn't actually have to work together. They could have just saved each other. I don't know. I think he really missed an opportunity there to make some moves. Because right now, he doesn't really have any moves to his name besides this fake legacy advantage, which I think is probably going to end up biting him in the end.
Yeah, but it is so hilarious. It is so hilarious that, you know, they gave him the fake one and he's like, oh, I'm going to make a fake one, so I don't have to play the real one. But eventually, you know, he's going to play the fake one. And then it's going to be Jeff, you know, dunking on him a second time of like, no, this also is not a real legacy advantage.
I know. The only way that could actually help him is if he, let's say it's at six, right?
Right.
And he knows he's going home. If he brings it out before people vote and says, you know what, I'm going to play this. So I don't know if you guys were going to be voting for me, but you might want to change your votes because I'm going to save myself. This is the real one. Mm-hmm. And then maybe if there were people that were voting for them, they might freak out and vote for somebody else.
Right.
That's the only way I think it could save him, is if he brings it out before people vote and then there's a live tribal council and it basically causes pandemonium.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's going to think it's real and then not bring it out until the end, and then it's just going to be a huge bummer.
Yeah. Why couldn't Sara Lucina have a fake legacy advantage and then Ceri? It's like, Ceri, you would have been voted out, but actually this is a fake legacy advantage and you get to stay.
I don't know. Sara Lucina was too good, honestly.
She was too good.
She's a scary player. She's a cutthroat.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad Sierra Dawn Thomas didn't think of making a fake legacy advantage, and then she could have just given that to Sarah. Maybe it would have saved her.
Yeah. We would have to have
the newlywed Sierra Dawn Thomas.
I know. Okay. And also, I have to say that her wedding dress was so beautiful. I'm so happy for those two. They look so in love, so happy. I just think the world of them. And it's cool. I mean, there's been more couples out of Survivor than a show like The Bachelor, which I think is pretty insane.
Yeah, no, that is a really nice story about Joe and Sierra. The crazy thing is, I just don't know why, what took so long? Why did this take so many years to happen? Like, why didn't they get, fall in love and get married like 4 years ago?
I think it's because when you like someone and you're afraid to admit it, you treat them like your best friend. And then when people ask you about them, you're really defensive and you just say, oh, no, we're friends. He's like a brother to me. Because that's what Sierra did all of Game Changers, is we would always ask about Joe. You two are really close. And she would always just dismiss it and go, oh, no, we're just best friends. Like, and she would actually complain about him in like a cute way. Just, oh, yeah, I could never. And I think that was just her in denial that he was the love of her life. And I don't know why it took so long, But when they got together, it totally made sense. It was just funny because Aubrey and I would have all these conversations with her, and she would just deny until, I don't know, one day they just explored it and happily ever after.
Yeah, I know. It's a wild story. All right, Andrea, I have a lot of questions for you from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. But first, let me just thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at DC Universe. And if you love DC movies, shows, and comic books, we got some good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit DCUniverse.com/podcast-one. Use promo code Rob Podcast to start your free trial. Andrea, do you watch any of these comic book shows?
No, not really. Okay. Am I disappointing?
No, if you do, I'm sure you're going to be talking to some of these, the stars of these shows at some point. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, Titan Season 2. Doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaylee Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory, to break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. You go, girl, right? Harley Quinn is going to ditch that Zero, the Joker, finally?
Yeah, I think so.
Go for it. Yeah. Will she be the newly liberated Queen Pin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. If you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, so much more. If reading's more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices, so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your 14-day free trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code Rob Podcast. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code Rob Podcast to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Rob's podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is available only in the United States. Okay, let me start off with a question from a longtime listener, Taylor Cotter. Taylor Cotter wants to know that it's crazy to think that the remaining contestants wouldn't know Rob and Sandra already. However, their very, very bad poker faces about breakfast make it seem like these people can't even fake excitement. Where does Andrea come down in this debate? And what was her first reaction upon seeing Boston Rob in season 22? All right. Do you think that the contestants actually all are very aware that Rob and Sandra are on the island? Or do you think there are people that still don't know about this, Andrea?
They have to know. I just think that I bet producers told people not to say, but I bet when cameras aren't rolling or at night, I just feel like some of the players probably squealed about it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's been 30 days.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that they have to have like, you know, maybe the first person or two were like, okay, I got to keep this under my hat. But so many people have gone. It's like, you know the thing about Rob and Sandra, right? It's like, oh, yeah, totally. I've done that for like, 21 days.
Yeah. I mean, I think they know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time I saw Rob, I was super excited. I was actually really stoked. I mean, now I take it back. But at the time, I was actually really excited about Russell because I... Things have changed. But back then, I really was rooting for Russell to win his first season, Samoa.
Yeah.
So that was like, oh my gosh, it's Rob and Russell. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see them. If you're a Survivor fan, seeing anyone for the first time or meeting a Survivor player is pretty epic. Like when I first played Survivor and then I did that Give Kids the World charity event, and I met Richard Hatch and Courtney and Todd Herzog and all those people, I was losing my mind. I mean, now I'm like an old veteran, so I don't really care. But back in the day, I was still bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people have that reaction when they meet you now.
Yeah, I guess so. Which is just weird to me. It's weird to me because I don't see myself on any sort of pedestal. And it is odd when people fan out, mm-hmm. but I think it's just because Survivor fans are so invested. I mean, if you're a Survivor fan at this point, you've probably put in years and years and years. So if you meet someone from the show that you liked, of course you're going to be really excited. And I still get excited to meet people. Like, I get excited to meet the new contestants. Mm-hmm. There's like a there's a Survivor Christmas party coming up.
Yes,
I'm apparently helping organize it.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was, you know, if it was like, because I had seen the invitation and I wasn't sure because it's just Survivor only. It's not like that the, you know, fans are coming, right?
It's just Survivor only, unfortunately.
No, and but that's so cool. It really is, not to say that like, oh, that the fans can't come. But I think that there's so few times when you get to actually, you know, hang out with the other people that were on the show. And it's almost like an office Christmas party where it's like that you get to like actually like spend time with the other people that you really, you know, never have the chance to get the chance to. I mean, it's nice that on the podcast, I get to talk to so many different Survivor people. But in terms of like an offline setting, like it's very, very rare that you get to hang out with a lot of different Survivor people.
It's so true, because even at the finales, there's a ton of family members and fans, and your time is split with all these people. So you don't get to actually have longer conversations with other Survivor mm-hmm. people. And I think it's going to be fun to have it just Survivor players. And a lot of people that I haven't met. So I think some people from this season are going, and I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. I'm
very
jealous.
Excited. Somehow I'm in charge of it. I don't know. It was actually Dom and Wendell. It was Dom and Wendell. And then out of nowhere, Dom asked me if I wanted to also be in charge of helping out. And now I'm like listed as the person organizing it, but okay, it's fine.
I'm
decorating. I don't know.
I'm really jealous that I'm very disappointed that I'm going to be in New York in a couple of weeks, that I have a family wedding coming up. And so I'm going to be one weekend too late to be there. But I am really, really jealous. And I do hope that you guys do it again and I get the chance to get out there.
Yeah, next time for sure.
Okay. No, that's really, really fun. Okay. Let me see what else, do we have so many questions for you from the listeners, and let me see. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, I'm trying to find if I have a question about it. Karishma racking up the votes against her, Andrea, and she is, closing in on the single season record. Of course, you have the record of most votes cast against over a Survivor career. Could Karishma, you know, I think she'll play again. Does Karishma have a shot at your record?
Maybe if she plays again. I don't know off the top of my head how many votes I have against me, but that was over three seasons. And a lot of times I was the target for many votes in a row, mm-hmm. but she's on her way, right? I think she'll definitely play again.
Does it count when she canceled seven? Do those votes count towards the total?
I would think that they do, because it's just most votes cast against you. So I think that would count.
Yeah. And thanks to Gregory McBean was the person that was asking about how that she is nearing the record for number of votes cast against somebody in a season. And so could she potentially be the person? Would you happily bestow that record to Karishma, or you want to keep that for yourself?
I want to keep it. It's the last thing I have, Rob.
Yeah, the idol is gone.
I'm no longer the only woman voted off with an idol. So now it's my last hope. I know Kelly Wentworth is really close. I think she's a vote or two behind me. So I really want to hold on to this record as long as possible.
Okay. Yeah. If she's a vote or two behind you, then she definitely canceled some votes with her idol. So I think that they definitely must count. You know, we haven't talked at all about Elaine. I know you've tweeted about Elaine over the course of the season. Are you still a big Elaine stan?
I like Elaine. I like her personality. I like who she is. I'm not sure if she has the gameplay right now to win. I think she really is that old school mentality of us versus them and having a core group, which I do respect having a core group and having loyalty, but I think she's not really thinking outside of the box of how to get to the end. But as a person, I am obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. I think she's so wonderful and hilarious and cool. I would want to be your best friend out there. So I'd be rooting for her if she's in the finals, but I hope she has a few more moves in her. She had that one where she blocked a vote, which was great. She just needs like one or two more boss moves, right?
Yeah.
For me to be excited about her winning.
So I think she's really, really good. I thought that she did a great job last week of getting Karishma over to her side. But I thought then this week, I was really surprised that she seemed so ready to kick Karishma to the curb, where she really did such an amazing job of, like, Missy was like, all right, Karishma, you're my goat. You're going with me. You're a vote in my pocket. Elaine came in and then had Karishma just, you know, eating out of the palm of her hand of, like, you know, she said to her that, like, I'm going to do Elaine. I can't do it right now. But she just was going to try to get her series. Like, she knew exactly what buttons to press with Karishma to get her. And then she was just so willing to get rid of her after this vote. And I really think that for Tommy and Lauren, I think that Elaine is going to be one of the next targets for them.
Yeah, I think that Elaine probably thinks she's super tight with Tommy and Dan, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I think she's wants to preserve that as much as possible and just ride that to the end, that she's not thinking outside of the box and thinking how she can use Karishma, because that is surprising. I guess her working with Karishma was just situational because of the swap. But I think she's doing herself a disservice, because now I don't really think she has that dynamic of a game here. But hopefully something will shake up or something will happen and she'll realize she has to play a little more. Because, I mean, she'd be a dope winner. If she would win, I would be so happy. But I just need a little more movement from her.
Okay. I want to ask you about if you think that a woman will win this season. Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. says, Robin Sandra had said that a woman would win this season, that Sandra wanted to bet Rob that a woman was going to win. Rob said, hey, I was born at night, but not last night. What do you think? Would you take that bet from Sandra that a woman is going to win the season?
I really hope so. I mean, it's been a while. It's been since Sarah won my season.
Yeah.
So, right? 34. This would
be, if a man wins the season, this would be the longest stretch in the history of the show that a man would have won 5 seasons in a row, which also coincides with the introduction of the final 4 fire making twist.
Oh, it hurts. Yeah, it really hurts. I mean, I would love if a woman won this season, especially after everything we've been through, which is, it's crazy, because when the season started off, there was such strong women and such girl power. And I was just so happy because finally, we're casting really, really strong women. You have a 3-time Olympic swimmer. You have Janet, who is 59 and as strong as anyone else. You have Missy, who played basketball, was in the military. I mean, really competitive women, which was exciting. And that's why it was crazy that we had the whole episode from 2 weeks ago, because it's like one step forward, 25 steps back. However, I think we're finally seeing some really good casting, and they're casting women to be strong players and not just bikini models, because that's really what it was back in the day.
Yeah.
Especially in that like period of, I think, like, my season of Redemption Island.
Well, you were an exception to that, but it definitely feels like that at the low point, you know, of Survivor, like in the, you know, early 20s, like the, you know, the first half of the 20s, like there really was a lot of casting of the models and the actors.
They were casting a lot of hot young girls that had never watched the show, and
a fair share of hot young guys also.
That's true. Yes, that is very true. But yeah, it just wasn't great. And especially if you're playing with people that have never watched Survivor, of course they're going to be bad at Survivor, and they're going to look dumb because they don't know how to play Survivor. They've never watched an episode.
And also, let's bring in some Survivor veterans also to play with these people also at this period in time.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. My season of Redemption Island, I think only 3 out of 20 people applied for Survivor. I'm not even kidding. Everyone was recruited. Some people were trying to be on Amazing Race and got brought over to Survivor. Fine, I can respect that a little more, but most people were recruited. And then even fans were favorites too. My season of Karamoan, most of the fans were not fans.
Yeah, I think Matt and Michael Snow.
Joke?
Yeah, that's probably about it.
Yeah, so it really is crazy. And I think that's why it's been harder for women on Survivor, because they weren't casting a lot of strong females that were also fans of the show. They were casting them for their looks. And I think now you have these dynamic Survivor females that were really killing it. You know, someone like Kelly, who finds two idols. Granted, she didn't play it correctly, but I mean, happens to the best of us. But, you know, people that, like, women that are really bringing it. So it's just an exciting time. And I would just love if a woman could win this season, but we'll see.
Yeah, just to add to what you're saying, that I really think that now, if somebody has not seen a lot of Survivor, they're almost the exception to the rule. I feel like that they almost don't cast people who aren't at least, you know, somewhat fans of the show.
Yeah, I think there was a misconception that Survivor viewers wanted to see beautiful, hot, sexy people on their screens in bikinis. And I think now they've kind of tested the waters and cast more fans and realized that the gameplay is so much more dynamic and the fans love it more, you know?
Yeah. You know, we need characters.
I think the casting has gotten a lot better. Yeah. And also we need more characters, but also we need female characters that are complex, like a Nora. Like a Debbie, you know, women like that. Because in the past, all the characters were the men. And now I think it's finally caught up a little bit. So I was really happy with the casting for the season.
So here we are. We're down at the final eight of the season. And so we have five women who are left in the game. And I think that you can argue a case for why any of them could be the winner. Elaine, Janet, Karishma, Lauren, and Nora. And then on the men's side, we have Dan, who I feel reasonably safe to say Dan cannot win the game.
No way.
Dean, I don't think can win the game either, despite his hatred for the Goat Army.
Well, he's rallying up the Goat Army.
Yeah. But you have Tommy. So I really feel like it's Tommy versus this field of five. If you had a choice, would you take Tommy or would you take the field of women in terms of like who is the likely winner?
Man. As much as I would love a woman to win, I feel like Tommy has a really good shot.
Yeah.
Because he's part of this dynamic duo. I love the relationship that Tommy and Lauren have. I think that is my dream scenario in Survivor. As of right now, they seem like they're ride or dies. I've always wanted that. Mm-hmm. I never had it.
Yeah.
I finally almost had it with Aubrey, and then I was voted out. And it was so funny. It was just so embarrassing. And we talk about this all the time. I mean, Aubrey's one of my best Survivor friends. But the day that I was voted out, we were walking around looking for coconuts. And we were talking if we were more of a Parvati or Amanda. And we were both like, yeah, I think we're more Amandas. And we were just like having this stupid conversation about Parvati and Amanda, kind of thinking like, finally, we found our like best friend out here, or, you know, a ride or dies. And then I'm voted out hours later. It was just really funny, but I've always wanted that and I've never really had it. And it seems like Tommy and Lauren really are together in this. Now, at some point, it would probably be smart of them to turn on each other. But as of now, they seem to be the ones pulling the strings here.
That's what I want to ask you next is that for Lauren, does this make sense to go to the end with Tommy? This might be a sexist way of looking at it. I feel like that Tommy will win in the end with Lauren. I mean, because that's basically, I feel like there's a precedent of that on the show. I feel like that I could see them getting to the finals and then the jury saying to Lauren, but didn't Tommy do everything? And, you know, I'll own that might be a sexist way of looking at that. But do you think that Lauren can beat Tommy?
I don't know. And again, you're right. Maybe it is a sexist way to look at it. Maybe it's internalized misogyny and we're not giving the jury enough credit.
Because Lauren did seem like that she certainly, I mean, she demonstrated, while she has not had a big edit in the season, she demonstrated last night that she really does seem to like have a lay of the land in terms of like knowing every single person that's out there.
Yeah. The thing about Lauren is I don't know right now what her resume is. I mean, she has no votes against her. So that's great. Mm-hmm. She's pulled a lot of the strings, I think, but can she separate herself from Tommy?
Yeah.
Because his argument will be, well, I was right there with you making those exact same decisions.
Yeah.
And he also has.
Yeah. Also that like, what is Tommy's resume? It's not like it's that, impressive either.
No. I mean, the what they have is, I do think right now those two are running the game. It seems like they're making the decisions and then making other people look bad. When you had the scene where Lauren was lip reading, right? And then sent Dan over to go question, and Lauren sat on the hammock. So, you know, she's putting the target on Dan. She's putting like Christmas target to Dan and making tension there. And she's kind of getting off, not looking like the bad person. So Yeah, I mean, I think those two together have been kind of in control for a while. So I don't know, it'd be hard to separate them. I think that Lauren would have to try to cut Tommy right before finals.
Yeah.
That would be her best bet. And then be in the finals with, I don't know, Nora and Dan.
I really think that for Lauren, had things gone differently last week, where if Tommy would have been voted out at that tribal council, where when Missy had the shot to take Tommy out, if Karishma would have gone along with that. Tell me, is this crazy that I think that would have been better for Lauren, because then her tightest ally would have been taken out of the game, but she still then would have had this opportunity to move forward with Missy. And then Tommy goes to the jury. I think he's going to be really like, you know, riling up the votes for Lauren if she gets to the end. That feels like to me where if your biggest threat could get taken out in a way that had nothing to do with you, where you got no blood on your hands and then Tommy was out of the way, I feel like that would have been a better scenario for Lauren.
Yeah, it could have been. Because if she cuts Tommy at the end and they've been tight this whole game, he's going to be so hurt and it's going to be a bad look for her. But the only thing that if Missy was still in the game, she was so tight with Elizabeth, and who knows how Lauren would have fit in that dynamic. But I think so. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think that those two are really in a good spot right now, because it doesn't seem like anyone has them on their radar as of now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's because they've done a good job at keeping their core. So now Elaine and Dan think they're with them. So does Dean, even Nora. And so there's this tight alliance, then there's this second alliance, and then there's all these things, but they all involve Lauren and Tommy. At least that's what it seems like to me.
I have a question from John, and he wants to know, Andrew, you played with both Rob and Sandra. Who do you think is the best teacher? I would suspect, you know, you learned more from Rob just because you spent so much more time with Rob in Redemption Island as opposed to the couple days you spent with Sandra in Game Changers. But did you learn anything from your time with Sandra in the game?
Unfortunately, I only got to spend a couple days with her. And she was, you know, we voted her off right away. So I didn't really get a chance to learn anything from her. The thing about Sandra, though, is I always feel like I'm walking on eggshells, because it seems like Sandra can look right into your soul. And so Sandra scares me. Like, of anything I want in my life, I just want Sandra to like me. And
me
the
too.
Fear of her not liking me is very overwhelming. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't really learn anything from Sandra, but I think it's because I was so scared to even talk around her, because I just want her to like me.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I didn't learn anything from her, but I'm obsessed with her. I think she's so cool, and I just hope that she loves me. That's the thing about these freaking legends, though, is that they're so dynamic and charismatic and almost otherworldly. I mean, I guess now I'm just putting them on this pedestal, but like if I played with Sandra again, I don't even know if I could form a sentence. I'd just be afraid that she would be able to tell if I was lying, or she would just call me out. So I'd probably just listen to whatever she said.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't learn anything from her, but I respect her a lot.
Did you feel bad when the chicken bit her?
Oh, no, that was hilarious. Look, Sandra was going after those baby goats on Game Changer, so I don't feel bad about a chicken biting her.
Goat army. Yeah, different goat army.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on there? She's got like a papaya and there's like a fork. Like, I don't know what's going on in terms of like, is that lunch at the Island of the Idols?
No, they're eating pretty well, Rob. I mean, I think they're getting full meals. I'm still not convinced that they're sleeping out there. I wanted to text Rob, Boston Rob, and ask, but I also, if he told me the truth and they weren't sleeping out there, I'm obviously not going to expose him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think they are spending full days out there with nothing to do. There's no way.
Okay. I don't know. Felipe wants to find out from you, as the most recent inductee to the 100 Days Club. Congratulations on that, Andrea. Should the Island of the Idols or Extinction Island count towards that landmark? Also, how does she feel about all these women getting voted out with Idols until Karishma last night? Well, we covered that part. Okay. So I think that this was something that came up in the preseason, that Rob and Sandra said that the days they spend on the Island of the Idols should count towards their overall Survivor days played. What do you think of that?
No way. They're not playing Survivor. That should not count. I don't think it should count at all because they're not actually playing Survivor and they're probably eating so much more than the average Survivor player gets to eat. And I also, I mean, I don't know, is this a hill I'm going to die on? I'm probably going to upset a lot of people from Edge of Extinction. Oh, this is going to be a hot take. Extinction is going to come after me. I just don't think Edge of Extinction should count unless you get back in the game. Oh, no.
Okay.
Reem's going to come after me.
Dude.
Reem already has tweeted something about, what did I say? I think I said I liked Island of the Idols better than Edge of Extinction, and Reem hate tweeted me or something.
Yeah.
She's like, don't be bitter or don't be mean. I don't know. I thought it was funny. No, I mean, now that I say it out loud, I do feel like Reem played a lot of days in Survivor, and now I think that those should count.
Okay.
Now that I say it out loud.
Yes.
Because, like, the people that were there from the beginning, they spent so much time just dying on Edge of Extinction. I mean, when I heard about how rough it was out there, you know, it was horrible. So I guess those days should count for your overall number. I guess the only reason I didn't want it to count at first is because then there's going to be so many more people in the 100 Day Club.
Yeah.
I was being really selfish when I was first talking about it, but now that I'm thinking about Reem, I think they should count.
Yes. Well, I do love Reem. I got a happy Thanksgiving text from Reem already today. So that's what a wonderful lady Reem Daly is. So I will, her days should count double as far as I'm concerned. But would you get into this with Aubrey? I feel like that Aubrey would say that those days definitely should count.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now that.
And
now that I honestly verbalize it, yeah, now that I talk about it on the podcast, I really up until this moment right now thought the days shouldn't count. But now that I say it out loud, it does feel like they should. They were not eating very much. They had a really rough time. It was horrible. So the days should count, and especially for Aubrey, because she had a rough go at it. I know this last season was really hard for her. And so she's overall just had a rough Survivor experience. I mean, she told me that Game Changers was maybe one of her best seasons, like in terms of morale. And Game Changers was my worst season. So in terms of morale, so it really showed me just how the Survivor seasons kind of stack up next to each other. And she's gotten a rough go, man.
Yeah. On Game Changers, like, you know, she had a rough time, but then like for the most part, like after the merge, they sort of just like left her alone. Like that was a best case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, Game Changers was dark, obviously, but the camp life was not very positive. It was just a lot of negativity and it wasn't very fun. And so that was my least favorite season in terms of just playing. But yeah, so when I hear that was someone's favorite season, I'm like, oh boy, this has not been a good experience, huh?
I am with you on the Island of the Idols days should not count.
No, Rob and Sandra are not playing Survivor. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah. Okay. Laura ED wants to know, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish, Andrea?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I like pie. Not humble pie, I think I like apple pie, pumpkin pie. Yeah.
Okay.
That's mine. What about yours, Rob?
I was talking about this with Steven last night. You know, I'm big into the pumpkin pie. I'm very excited about the desserts. I'm very excited to indulge in that. Like, I feel like we're going to kind of yada yada the dinner later, and then very excited to get into because I feel like we don't keep a lot of dessert in the house normally. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Very excited. Do you get into any of the baking? Do they put you right to work as soon as you get home?
I think my mom knows better. I'm not really that good in the kitchen, unfortunately. So they kind of let me get away with not having to help that much. So I'm a little spoiled in that regard. I just don't get it. I'm not very domestic. I don't really know how to cook or bake. I try. It's just I don't have the skill. I just don't have it.
Yeah.
And in New York, I just end up getting seamless. I don't know. My kitchen, like everything in New York is so small. So my kitchen is basically my living room. And so if I cook or bake, well, baking smells good, but cooking, everything just like stinks up my apartment. So I ended up just getting stuff to make sandwiches and salads. I don't know. I'm really boring.
I hear you. Look, if you are working a lot, it's hard to also like put a lot of time and thought into eating.
When it's just me. Like,
and food prep. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm cooking a whole meal and it's just me, then it's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right. Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, how good would you have been at convincing anyone on your seasons to sit out of a challenge for food? And is there anybody that would have definitely sat out for breakfast? I guess first, let's answer that. But also, would you have ever sat out of the challenge for food?
No, there's no way. I mean, it's also probably to my detriment, but I'm really, really competitive and I really love winning the challenges. But I think that's also a problem because then people know that about me and then I'm always this perceived threat.
How many challenge wins do you
have? I've actually only won 4 individual immunity challenges.
Won 4. Yeah.
Yeah, but 3 seasons. But on Game Changers, I won 2 on Game Changers. And then I was in the group that won the reward challenges. I won every reward challenge and I was really close in every challenge. We didn't have an Olympic swimmer or like all these really strong players that this season has, but I was always really competitive. So that's my problem, I think, though, is everyone, as soon as it gets past the merge, everyone sees me as a challenge threat, which I guess I am. And then I'm always going to be the target. So somehow, if I ever play again, somehow I have to, I don't know, fake an injury or something. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard once you're out there, because I know I can win a lot of these. It's just hard for me to, I could never just fall out of a challenge on purpose or I could never sit out because I just, especially a challenge that they played, I feel like I would have a good shot of winning that. So it would have been really difficult for me to sit out.
Yeah. I feel like that the challenges have kind of come back into where that, you know, at one point that they were like a little bit more of like crazy obstacle courses, but I feel like that the challenges right now, a lot of endurance, a lot of balance, a lot of stamina challenges. And I feel like that, that's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Which is weird because in real life, I'm not a very patient person, but in Survivor, I'm just able to zone out or really, really focus whatever the challenge calls for. And I'm able to, really do well, especially at the endurance ones. And it's so painful, but I don't know. I kind of just like click into this other
click,
person.
I
am a pretty good, but even on like Karamoan, there's just that challenge where you are underwater and the tide is rising. Yeah. And like, I actually, this is insane, but it came down to me and Brenda, but she had like the hand contraption that actually works. But I was even thinking at the time, okay, if I pass out, there's enough people around, they're going to bring me back to life. At least it'll be good TV. Like, I'm not going to die. So even if I drown, they'll bring me back to life. Like, I was so crazy because like when you get in the zone and you're competitive, you're like, I just have to win no matter what. But the problem is you can't really do that on Survivor anymore because now if people see you as a challenge threat, you're immediately targeted.
Yeah. And you love Survivor so much. You even play in these fake seasons of Survivor that you're a crazy person.
I know. I did. Yeah, I played in one in the spring. I played in a few.
Yeah.
And now, though, with the fake Survivor games, it's hard because now everyone wants to have that on their belt of like,
big game hunting.
Got Andrea out. Yeah, they're like, I got Andrea out. So, you know, that's
you need disguise.
Oh, yeah. but yeah, I mean, Survivor's fun. Even though, like, the fake Survivor is that it's like a day of playing. It's actually really fun and nerve-wracking.
Yeah, Andrea, I think you are poo-pooing. Yeah, I would try it out, but I think I want to talk this through. I think you need a disguise when you go play, and it's like, no, I'm not Andrea. My name is Megan, and you need a wig, and would people know it was you?
I think so. I think people would know it was me with a wig. I just think that my
what a twist!
I don't think that Survivor fans are that easily fooled that a wig would throw them off the course of finding out it's me.
I want to play, but I want to play in prosthetics. I'm going to go see if I can go play in one of these games and see if there's like somebody that could help me and give me.
I think
like,
Wendell just played in a game. It's the new thing, Rob.
I know he did.
I saw him and Bryce.
Yeah, Survivor Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I played, that's when I met Zeke, and I actually won that season.
Mm-hmm.
And I found 2 idols, and I played them correctly.
Beat
it was
Sophie.
My best season of Survivor. Yeah. Those days should count for my overall title.
You're going to count those? Well, wasn't it also just one day?
That's very true. One more day.
Add to the total. But just to go back to Brendan's question, would you have been able to convince people to sit out of the challenge?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the more you talk about food, the more people kind of make up their mind. If you know what, I am just going to sit out. And also, if you talk up how good Nora is, or Nora's going to have this one, then people like Dean, like Tommy, like Dan, and they know that they can't beat Nora no matter what.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. If you know your skills and you know that there's no way you're going to be able to beat Nora or Elizabeth, then you may as well, because some of those you just can't. Doesn't matter how determined you are. There's just no way you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something that I'm reading here on the Survivor Wiki, since I have it open, about how you are one of 2 3-time players to make it to the jury in every one of your seasons, but not get to the end. The other is Joey Amazing. So you've been on a jury 3 times. 3 different times you've sat there and listened to these final tribal council arguments. Can you articulate what it is that you're looking to hear as a juror, in terms of to give advice to anybody, whoever makes it to the end of the game? What does the juror want to hear as somebody who's sat through so many of these speeches?
I guess I want to hear the specific game moves that you made and own up to it. And even if that means conflict, or even if that means calling people out, I want to hear people call other people out and say, no, you actually didn't have any part in that vote. That was all me. And I did this and this and this. And I just want someone to really, really own it. And if you lie to someone, you lied to somebody. And just, it really is just like the confidence.
Yeah.
Right. And for all of my seasons, though, I kind of went in knowing who I was going to vote for, because I just knew who played the best game. And I voted for Rob, I voted for Cochran, and then I voted for Sarah. And I really didn't want to vote for Sarah. I really didn't. And I was open-minded about the final tribal council with her, but she brought it. And she really owned up to all the moves, even if they were a little dirty and slimy. And so you just want someone who can deliver and show you what they did and how they were different.
Yeah. I know that Cochran gets a lot of credit for his final tribal council performance in Caramoan. Would you say that Sarah then was the best of the three, considering that you didn't want to vote for her, but then you ended up voting for her?
Yeah. I mean, the game moves that Sarah made were so next level. The fact that every person went to Ponderosa thinking Sarah was their best friend was enough for me to think she's one of the best Survivor players. Every person. When we went to Ponderosa, it's so embarrassing now, but Ozzy thought Sarah was her best friend. Or thought Sarah was his best friend. Sierra thought that. I thought that. So did Cerie. Every person. And you found out Sarah didn't even like any of us. Sarah didn't even like me. I found out that later. And then I was pissed. And that's why my final tribal council was a little emotional. And it was just because I felt so hurt that I was.
Wait, how did you find out that somebody was like, hey, just so you know, Sarah doesn't even like you?
No, Cerie told me that. And look, Cerie might have been embellishing. And maybe also was so hurt that she got voted out and was trying to make me feel bad. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But when I found that out, that Sarah didn't even like me, and I thought she was my best friend, I was like, damn, she is good. Because I'm not even kidding. We had trips to Iowa planned. We were going to tailgate. And then you talk to every other person who also had all these plans post-show with Sarah. And it was really funny that we all thought that. Yeah. Zeke thought that too. Every single person. So she just had that ability to fool every person. And the weird thing is, we didn't even come together and swap stories about her and realize that she was trying to trick all of us. Like, I don't know. She's insane. Like, she's so good.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, thank you so much for spending all this time with us today on Thanksgiving to talk about this. This was such a joy. This time really flew by for me, Andrea.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I mean, you're so good at this. I mean, it should be no surprise to anybody. But no, this was really, really fun. And you have so many great stories and so much insight about the game. And so it is always an honor to get to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me. I love listening to your podcast and I love that you're always killing it. So it's a total honor.
Yes. And I I'm always reminded of the time that I told you not to go back and play on Game Changers. And because I underestimated. I had no idea how much you love Survivor. I thought that you were just like, well, like a regular Survivor player. And it's like, okay, it's a thing to go do. I feel so stupid whenever we talk about how much you love the game that I didn't see that after two times of you playing.
Yeah, that was pretty wild because you really told me that you didn't think I should play a third time. And I was really close to not playing because of what you said.
No, nobody should ever listen to me.
Bad.
Nobody should ever listen
to me.
No,
but I know where you're coming from because, you know, as when I look at my career, mm-hmm. I don't want it to be completely embedded in Survivor, but...
You don't have to go down the route that I did, Andrea.
We don't all have to make Survivor our careers. But I also think that, you know, Survivor has given me so much.
Yeah.
And not saying that I wouldn't, well, I really think I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for Survivor. Mm-hmm. Even just coming down to the fact that the finale was in New York, you know, it's my first time here and I loved it. And then I thought about moving to New York. So it really affected my choices in my life. And yeah, I mean, the worst thing that could happen is that you're voted out early and you have to do the pre-jury trip and be embarrassed when you watch back.
And I know what that's like too, that you've never even had to have that experience.
Yeah, if I ever play again and get voted out early, I'm probably going to be really crushed just because I've been so lucky. You know, Survivor, there's a lot of luck. I've just been really fortunate that I've gotten to the jury each time because it's just a different experience, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, nobody's like, actually, you know what? The pre-jury is actually pretty awesome.
I think pre-jury trip is probably better than never doing it in the first place, as long as you can have the right attitude about
Sure. And, you know, I may have texted a person that was on this season of, boy, you really dodged a bullet getting you voted out before the merge in this season.
I know. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this season, the pre-jury are probably like, wow, yeah, maybe it was a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrea, are you going to be doing the New Year's Eve countdown again this year?
I am doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be my 7th year.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I host the live stream. It's the official Times Square New Year's Eve live stream.
Yeah.
And it's really fun, like getting to interview everybody in Times Square and being there for the ball drop when the confetti falls down. It's probably one of my favorite gigs I've ever done. And yeah, it's cool.
You're such a hard worker because I think so many people just like, all right, well, let me, you know, do something for me. I work so hard all year and here you are, you work so hard all year round. And then even on New Year's Eve, then you're still at this, you're 7 years running. It's just incredible. I really admire your work ethic.
Well, but the fun thing about New Year's Eve, working on New Year's Eve, is when I go out afterwards, by the time I get home, change, and I'm ready to go out, usually have to unthaw, I meet up with my friends at, you know, 2 a.m., and everyone's so drunk, and it's the only time in my life where I'm out completely sober with really drunk people that have been, you know, going at it for a while. So you kind of see everything in a different light. It's just really fun to then kind of catch up with everybody.
Yeah, good way to start off the new year, that you're the least drunk person there.
Yes, because usually not always the case. But for New Year's Eve, yeah, I kind of keep it together.
Okay. Well, Andrea, thank you so much. Of course, people can check you out every weekday on People Now at people.com. What else should people check out?
Yeah, basically that. We're also streaming on Twitter. We have a weekend show that's on TV, which is kind of the best of the week. Yeah, so but that's in certain cities. So you'd have to check
your local listings.
Yes, check your local listings. But that's been a new thing that's kind of cool. We're also really big in airports. So sometimes people now play at airport bars.
55 million people are traveling this weekend.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled. I guess that's probably it for now. And then New Year's Eve.
Yes. All right, Andrea, thank you again for making this time for us. Enjoy the time with your family. Safe trip home and have fun at the big Survivor holiday party. I'm going to be so jealous. And I bet that it would be a fun game to play. Who's going to be the most drunk at the Survivor holiday party?
You don't have to say
on the air. I just think that would be if we can text back and forth, we'll have a draft.
Yeah, we can discuss who's going to be the most drunk and then who is going to try to make the most free game alliances.
Oh,
for
yeah,
future
yeah.
Season,
because it's probably the same
you
person.
You know yeah. that happens.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk to Brett LaBelle this weekend on the feedback show. So I will tell him to make sure he's on his best behavior.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Andrea, thank you so much, okay?
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. The great Andrea Belke. I thought that she really knocked it out of the park on this appearance on the podcast. Always nice to get to talk to her, but she's really, really coming to her own as a great podcast guest, and so happy whenever I get the chance to catch up with Andrea. Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed this one as much as I did. I will be back over the weekend when I will be talking with Brett LaBelle on this weekend's feedback show. Make sure you get feedback questions in for Brett. I'll also post a tweet on Twitter where you can then add in your questions for Brett over on Twitter. But don't forget about the robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP email questions as well. You can send them in all weekend, and then we'll also get into this week in Survivor. Alex Jacob, the Jeopardy champion, will join us, and then we will get into our quiz with Jordan Kalish, all coming up, plus Robin Akiva need a podcast as well. We're going to have a special episode of that show coming up. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce what it's going to be yet. It hasn't been officially revealed, so if you're on pins and needles about that, you'll have to wait and see. Have that for you over the weekend. Of course, if you're doing any holiday shopping, of course, it's greatly appreciated if you use any of our links. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/shopping, if you can get our links for our affiliate site on amazon.com. Also, we have a link for walmart.com there as well. Go to robhasawebsite.com/shopping when you're doing any of your Black Friday holiday shopping as well. Plus, don't forget about our Black Friday merch sale at robhasawebsite.com/merch. Everything is going to be discounted for Black Friday. RobHasAWebsite.com/merch. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye.